As we take in consideration this topic, the power of the cross, our response to both our fear and to our ignorance in certain areas should be simply reverence. Reverence that is established and that is convincing. Whatever may happen or not happen, whatever we may know or not know, we must always say, as Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." One reference said, if we desire above everything else in this life a truthful connection to God and to our surroundings, then there will be for us a comfortable sense of genuine greatness, the pleasure of fulfilling exactly the role that God had in mind for us within the larger scheme of His great creation. Our text this evening comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. There it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So this was the Apostle Paul's focus. He was focused on nothing but preaching the power of the cross. We shouldn't have to be told that we should share the message of the cross with everyone. We're not ambassadors for Christ in the same sense that the apostles were, but what we say and what we teach to those around us must be exactly the same, and that is to be reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 through verse 21, there it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." So the salvation that was preached by the cross of Christ, that was purchased by the cross of Christ, must be spoken to others, and it must be accepted by others. The preaching of the gospel is the preaching of the cross. The cross of Christ is the principle of the gospel. The cross stands at the very center of our salvation. Nothing in the scheme of redemption is more fundamental or more important than the cross of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through verse 8. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." The cross is God's answer for the problem of sin. Without the cross, Christianity would be worth very little to mankind. To the point that we take sin seriously, the preaching of the cross becomes the good news. The message of the cross is the power of God to salvation, and it is revealed the righteousness of God. Romans 1, verse 16 and verse 17. We understand from the Apostle Paul when he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In Romans 10, verse 1 through verse 3, there it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." In Philippians 3, verse 7 through verse 11, there it says, "By what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." The hearing of the gospel, the story of the cross, is what produces obedient faith. And we read in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The preaching of the cross is a declaration that Jesus is Lord as well as Christ. And it reveals the conditions of accepting the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter stood up with the 11, he preached the power of the cross. Notice in Acts 2, verse 36 through verse 39, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Those that were present on the day of Pentecost, who gladly received the message of the cross, had no objection to being baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 40 and 41, there it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." In the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip preached the power of the cross. Listen to what the Bible says. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 30. "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?' Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Only if man's response today was that of the eunuch when the message of the cross was preached. Our prayer today is that God will create a pure heart and a steadfast spirit in those that hear the gospel, and that they may respond and obey as those did on the day of Pentecost. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Paul is our example. We need to be determined not to preach anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. To undermine the cross is to change the gospel. We need to be careful to give the cross its proper emphasis in our presentation of the gospel. Are we guilty of preaching ourselves when we tell others about the cross of Christ? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we tempted to remove the offense of the cross? Do we feel as some others do, that our new age calls for a new message? 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. To please others, will we alter the emphasis of the gospel so that we turn it into a different gospel? Paul addressed this when he was speaking to the Galatians. He says there in chapter 1, verse 10, 6 through verse 10, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. It's a result of telling others and our actions stories about our conversion so that the cross of Christ is made of no effect. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 through verse 25. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of the world, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Whether we are doing the preaching or the listening of the preaching, we need to make sure it is the cross that is being preached, and that we are truly converted by the gospel to the Lord Himself. It is the gospel by which God calls men to Himself. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 12 and verse 32, Jesus taught that it would be the cross that would draw all men to Him. Being a disciple of the Lord means telling others about the cross. I said in a previous lesson that the Great Commission applies at least indirectly to every one of the Lord's people. Let me read again Matthew 28, 18 through 20. There it said, and Jesus came and He spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We have been taught this so that we may go and teach others. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There are important ways each of us can be involved in the preaching of the cross. The chorus of the song we sing on page 223, entitled Swiftly We're Turning, it says this, into our hands the gospel is given, into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. So how are we fulfilling our responsibility to tell others of the power of the cross? In closing, we need to hide ourselves behind the cross and find our glory only in the cross. Galatians 6 and verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Ultimately, it is gratitude that will cause us to preach the cross of Christ. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. In Mark 5 and verse 19, there it says, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. That is our responsibility. That's what the Lord requires for us to do concerning the cross of the Christ. If there is anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.